This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. Listen to us on KPFK, KPFA, and other Pacifica affiliates, and watch us on Free Speech TV Monday through Friday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. Many Americans have been so bewildered by the Electoral College win of Donald Trump that we find ourselves moving between anger and depression. Those who are eager to do something about what's happened are marching in the streets, frantically signing petitions to overturn the Electoral College or calling their representatives to speak out against Trump's most extremist transition team members. But there is one very practical and achievable thing that can be done. The Bill of Rights Defense Committee says, quote, "We are building a wall too, a wall of resistance." On its website, the rights organization suggests that people can organize in their own cities by passing local ordinances to protect their civil rights under a Trump administration. Joining me to discuss this is Chip Gibbons, the Policy and Legislative Counsel for Bill of Rights Defense Committee and Defending Dissent Foundation. Welcome to the program, Chip.
Thank you for having me. It's a real honor to talk to you and to talk about how people in their own communities can sort of fight back against some of the worst aspects of the Trump administration.
Yeah, so, you know, people, as I mentioned, have been searching for something to do, and there's something very concrete and very local about what your organization is offering. And of course, Bill of Rights Defense Committee has for, and Defending Defense Foundation, and I understand the two groups have now merged, for a long time offered these kinds of model legislation. I'm thinking, you know, almost of how the American Legislative Exchange Council has pushed model legislation at the state level to curtail people's rights. So this is seems like a really good thing to do in the other direction. Tell us about what sort of things can a city council pass that could gird us to and defend us against the kinds of things that Trump has promised to do, like deporting undocumented immigrants, etc.
Well, many cities are sanctuary cities, which means that they don't allow their local law enforcement to cooperate with federal immigration officials, or they don't allow their local law enforcement to inquire about people's immigration status, or they don't allow local law enforcement to enforce federal immigration law. And it's worth pointing out that immigration law is federal law. It's not local law. It's not state law. And traditionally, federal authorities enforce the federal laws, and local authorities enforce the local laws. So there's no need for your local police department to be out there assisting in raiding and rounding up people because of their immigration status. So I think there's been a lot of discussion about sanctuary cities in the last week. I think that's a good model. I mean, it's worth cautioning people that, you know, they don't keep ICE out completely. You can't stop a federal agency from conducting raids in your city, but you can say, we will not cooperate. You can't use our resources. These deportations are against our values. You're not using our resources and our police to carry them out. The other part of the ordinances, and there's two ordinances and one resolution we're offering as model legislation, and it's worth pointing out that a resolution isn't binding, but an ordinance is. So if you pass an ordinance saying that police cannot cooperate with ICE, that's binding on the police. And our ordinance also offers a remedy. So in case your police department doesn't follow it, sue them in court and make them do it. Also in the ordinance, which includes the prohibitions against cooperating with ICE, there's also a ban on discriminatory profiling. We know that Donald Trump praised stop and frisk during his debate with Hillary Clinton, and that he claimed that the New York NYPD stop and frisk program was not unconstitutional, even though the judge found it to be so. So we are also very concerned with discriminatory profiling, not just racial profiling, but religious profiling, profiling based on sexual orientation, profiling based on perceived immigration status. So we have a bill that very concretely lays out, like, police cannot profile based on these characteristics. And more importantly, it requires the police to keep data about who they're stopping and why. And that's important because then you have the data to go and prove in court that the police are engaged in discriminatory profiling and sue them and get injunctive relief, because they're not supposed to be engaging in any sort of actions based solely on race or whatnot. But the Supreme Court has made it very, very difficult to actually challenge that in court. So, I mean, this legislation not only bans the practice, it gives you an effective remedy to fight against it, the type of effective remedy the Supreme Court has been taking away from people. So this is a really big win against racial profiling if you get this passed in your town. And it also bars sharing such information with intelligence agencies. It bars local law enforcement from sharing information with people with federal intelligence agencies absent reasonable suspicion of a crime. And it also bars local law enforcement from infiltrating political and religious groups absent probable cause that a crime has been committed or is likely to be committed. And this is important because, as we know, Trump said he's going to surveil mosques. And we also know there's a lot of protests going on right now and that police have a habit of spying on and infiltrating protests.
Right.
And that gets us to the second piece of legislation we have, which is an ordinance to protect free speech and online privacy. It has all kinds of really good provisions in it about not being able to block from having marches and allowing people not to be arrested for freedom without a permit, which is based on the DC law. DC back in the early 2000s had a huge problem with police mass arrest of IMF and World Bank protesters, and actually after getting sued several times, they passed a very progressive piece of legislation protecting free speech, and we include the best parts of that in our model bill. And we also include limitations on when police can look at your social media, because we know that one of the things that a lot of activists are concerned about, and this is demonstrated by the huge display of solidarity with Standing Rock we saw, when people were checking in with Standing Rock when they heard that the police were allegedly using check-in to spy on activists, you know, over a million people checked in, you know, try to foil the police. So we concluded protections for social media. So, you know, with the two ordinances, the one limits your local law enforcement from engaging in sort of the worst of the Trump policies, the deportations, the discriminatory policing, the spying on mosques and political protests. And the second one defends your right to protest, defends your right to dissent. So if you are out in the street saying, you know, Donald Trump is not my president, or any other political view for that matter, the police, you know, can't shut you down. They can't spy on you unless there's, you know, a crime that's going to be committed.
Right. So on this issue of the required registration of Muslims, this was something that Trump promised before he was running for, before he won the Electoral College. And many people have pointed out, however, that is kind of unconstitutional, not that that seems to be something that Trump pays much attention to. So one question, can he legally do such a thing going forward? And if so, would the ordinance model ordinances that you have on your website protect against that?
I mean, there's some question about what exactly Trump is doing. If he was to ask all American Muslims to sign up for a registry, I think that would be blatantly unconstitutional. And I have full confidence that a court would strike it down. After 9/11, the Bush administration actually created registries of largely Muslim people based on what country of national origin they had or immigrants. But if you went down that route, I would still say that was odious, and I would think there could be a challenge to it, but I don't know if it's a slam dunk case as with the Register of American Muslims. It's probably going to focus mostly on immigrants, and, you know, the local ordinance can't stop the federal government from doing anything. But you could stop your local police from sharing information with them. And one of the things the ordinance prevents local law enforcement from doing is sharing any information with federal intelligence agencies absent reasonable suspicion of a crime. And being a Muslim is not a crime. So that would not be information that would be permitted to share with whoever was making this registry.
Right. I mean, there have been Muslims in the country for a very long time. There's a lot of African Americans who are Muslim. We have members of Congress who are Muslim. We have, you know, I mean, this is not just about immigrants coming in. And even if it were, that would not be right. But, it's, you know, being a Muslim, it's just one of many religions that Americans are. So have any of these model ordinances been actually implemented at, are these based on something that people have already successfully carried out in cities around the country?
Sure. So as you mentioned earlier, the Bill of Rights Defense Committee and Defending Dissent Foundation are a merged organization. It was two organizations that merged together. The Bill of Rights Defense Committee was actually started by a librarian who was against the Patriot Act, and she started a campaign for local cities to pass resolutions exposing their opposition to the Patriot Act, expressing their opposition to the Patriot Act. And, you know, 400 local cities passed that resolution or resolutions like that. In the last 7 years, we've gone for the model of having a local civil rights or civil liberties protection ordinance, which includes all the protections that are in these bits of bills. And various cities have passed parts of them. No one has ever passed it in its entirety, but there are several cities in North Carolina that passed some of the discriminatory profiling provisions in the law, and they based it off of our ordinance. So this is a successful model people can use. And we also know that there are many sanctuary cities across the United States. That's another model that's been successful. So I do think there has been historically a lot of success on the local level with resolutions like this, not as much as I would like to see. I think with a Trump presidency, and I think with a lot of people really concerned with what that means, I think it's going to galvanize people. And I think when people see there's not a lot of solutions right now at the federal level, with Congress probably not going to be favorable to civil liberties, Trump's not going to be favorable to civil liberties, and looking for something to do, and I think they're going to turn to the local level, and this is a concrete thing that they can put pressure on their city council or their town council to pass, and it will have a real impact.
And by the way, just in case people, you know, might think that the threat that Trump poses to civil liberties is exaggerated, already people like Chris Kobach, you know, Secretary of State in Kansas, who is one of the most extremist anti-immigrant officials in the country and is very much going to be part of Trump's team, has said they're going to hit the ground running and are already looking to revive what you were saying Bush did right after 9/11, the National Registry of People who are immigrants from very specific countries, all of which happen to be Muslim. And there's going to be, quote, extreme vetting of certain Muslim immigrants. And also, you know, they're getting ready to build their wall. So this is definitely not something I think people can sort of have as a wait and see, right, Chip? I mean, is now the time, like in November, December, January, the time to bring these model ordinances forward to in people's local city councils and get their city council representatives to pass them?
Yeah, I'm not going to take a wait-and-see approach with Trump. He said he's going to do a lot of very bad things. I don't know if he's going to pursue them. I don't know how much of it will get done. But I know that our civil liberties are too precious that when somebody gets up on a national stage and threatens them, for us to say, oh, let's wait and see what he does. These measures are offensive measures. You know, it takes us off of the defense in the civil liberties community and puts us on the offensive. So I think that before Trump even sets foot in the White House, it would be really powerful if a number of cities passed this. And it would be a very strong message to Trump that his agenda is going to be rejected across the country, that people will not cooperate with it, they will resist it.
Right. And we know cities, particularly on the coasts, were the bastions of anti-Trump sentiment. He did not win very much support, even in some parts of, say, like California, that have been traditionally Republican. Those went Democrat in this election. Chip, let's talk about the practical ways, you know, because I said people are looking for things to do. You know, wearing a safety pin to indicate that you're an ally is great, but passing a bill to actually protect people's rights legally at your local city council might go even further. So what can people do? Where can they go online? How can they just download or print out these pieces of legislation? And how do you suggest they approach their city council members? Particularly for people who've never been active before. I mean, a lot of people probably have never been to their local city council meetings.
So if you go to the Bill of Rights Defense Committee website, which is www.erdc.org, you can not only find a copy of all three of the resolutions, you can find other model resolutions we've had for some time. There's also a way to contact us so we can contact you about getting active in your community. In the past where these resolutions have been passed, it's been the result of strong coalitions built across diverse groups that don't always work together on the ground. So in a lot of local cities, you know, there are Muslim civil rights groups, there are immigrant rights groups, there's peace and justice groups, there's labor unions. And, you know, for people who are already active in one of those groups, sort of building bridges across the different movements to come together and build a coalition around passing one of these bills would be, I think, the best starting point. However, if you're not already active in a group, you can still start organizing in your community. And if you don't think there's anybody, you know, who shares your views, we have a very large number of members. We can help, you know, try to put you in contact with other people in your area. So if you just go to our website, you can see the bills. You can sign up to get help from us and tell us what you're doing. And I will happily help anybody who wants to pass one of these bills, because they are just model bills. You know, different cities will pass them in different versions. I'm willing to talk about all the different moving parts of them and how you can change them or not change them, what that would mean. So if people are interested and want to hit the ground running, like the Secretary of State of Kansas said he's going to do, I really strongly recommend visiting our website and getting involved.
Well, Chip, I want to thank you so much for joining us today to help discuss a very practical and very real thing that can actually have serious ramifications for people's safety in the era of a Trump presidency. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Again, that website is bordc.org. And Chip Gibbons, my guest, is the Policy and Legislative Counsel for the Bill of Rights Defense Committee and Defending Dissent Foundation. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. We're also on Twitter at twitter.com/RUWithSonali.